Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan at SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd. It's Season 8, Episode 106. And Dave, we got a little quarterback controversy.
We got a four-quarterback controversy. And really, I mean, I wrote it up such as that four-quarterback, you know, Kevin Colbert comments on four-quarterback controversy over the weekend. But, I mean, you know, it really, there is no controversy, right? I mean,
there's no controversy. Well, there's no controversy, but all of a sudden we'll get into all Ben's comments, but Ben brought in a little controversy about the roster, about how the roster is going to be constructed.
Yeah, he did. And look, let me start off. I am going to probably rip Ben Roethlisberger quite a bit during this episode. But what Ben didn't said is probably what I would have done and said. So it, you know, it doesn't make it right. You know, the passive aggressiveness and look, I mean, let's boil it down. This is just Ben being Ben. I don't know. I think I even wrote way back when I did that article of things that the Steelers can learn from the time they drafted Ben Roethlisberger. You know, where I suggested that Mason Rudolph might, you know, or quarterback in general might be picked this year. I think at the end of that article, or at the end of one of the posts this offseason related to that topic, I said, I can't wait to see Ben's response when and if a quarterback is taken. So none of us should be surprised, I think, with the tone and kind of the nature of what Ben has said. It was just a matter of when such comments were going to come out. I personally didn't expect him to hit this early, but you know, him talking about how the roster constructed and all, and saying, you know, I thought that, you know, the team could have used that third round pick to help a player, you know, or to get a player that could help us now. That kind of angle that he went. Look, this is a team that acquired another third round pick, right prior, you know, in the first round there, for trading Martavis Bryant away. That a lot of us people, you know, a lot of us figured was, or thought was, a huge surprise. And they used one of those, you know, they used a second round pick to replace the player that they traded away. They drafted Ben another tackle in the third round, which, let's face it, that was quite surprising. That's a player that's not going to help now. And then they used the other third round pick, and then, you know, traded up a couple of spots to get Mason Rudolph, a guy that they deemed a first round talent, a guy that they think might be able to be the heir apparent to Roethlisberger down the line, if Ben doesn't play, you know, another 5 years. I guess the big question I would ask Ben after he rattled that off on his radio interview the other day would be, okay, do you have any examples in mind of any players that you would have drafted that you thought would have been able to help the organization right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's not Ben's job, though. He's not the draft, you know, he's not a draft expert. It's not his job to go, you know, say you should have taken this player.
Sure, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to say, you know, what else were they
going to do? Yeah, take another receiver. Take another running back. Obviously the answer is take an inside linebacker, right? I mean, yeah, it's very interesting because a lot of stuff went on in the middle of the draft. When I say the middle, after the Steelers made their, you know, from the second round to the fourth round, a lot of teams did some interesting things. And, you know, you can look at Mason Rudolph. The Steelers may have had a first round grade on him. There is no doubt that the Giants, the Patriots, and the Saints needed a quarterback. The Patriots traded out twice. Twice they traded out of picks move back where they could have taken Mason Rudolph. The Saints didn't take Mason Rudolph. They moved up in the first round and took a defensive lineman. People thought maybe they would move up and do something to take a quarterback. They moved up and took a defensive lineman. I think that shocked everybody. Traded next year's first round pick. The Giants, obviously, you know, they made the decision with Saquon Barkley. And then they had opportunities. Now, maybe they think the kid from Cal Davis is going to be their guy longer term. But it's very, the whole thing about, I don't know that Kevin Colbert did anybody, I don't think he was telling the truth. I don't think he was being disingenuous. I don't think he did anybody in the world a favor by saying we had a first round grade on Mason Rudolph and we took him in the third round. But, you can say whatever you want to say, but the Steelers passed on him two times. And so he's there. Dave, I can't remember what number pick in terms of number overall. What was Josh Dobbs? Do you have any kind of recollection of what number he was? 115, something like that.
I'm trying to remember if obviously he was a fourth round guy, right? I'll pull that up for you.
And at the end of the fourth round, and Mason Rudolph is kind of middle late third round guy. It's amazing to me the reaction of the difference of the way people look at Mason Rudolph versus Josh Dobbs. Mason Rudolph went, let's just say, 40 picks earlier than Josh Dobbs.
All right, Dobbs went 135th overall.
135th, and Rudolph went 75th or so.
Rudolph went, let's see, he was third round. He went 76th overall.
Yeah, 76. So you got a guy going effectively two rounds earlier, even though one's the third and one's the fourth. They're about because of the supplementary picks at the end of the third. So you got a guy going 50, 60 picks ahead of the other guy. The idea of saying a guy's an heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger to me is, and Ben said this, he said maybe, but it seems to me way too many Steeler fans are like, okay, this is going to be the next Steeler quarterback. Let's say Ben plays three more years. The Steelers are going to draft another quarterback in the next 3 years. It's pretty certain Josh Dobbs may not be with the organization come September 1st, and Landry Jones won't be under contract. So they may draft a quarterback next year. But, over the next 3 years, the Steelers are going to draft a quarterback. And the reaction, my guess is, the reaction will be, if that guy's taken from the fourth round or earlier, they'll be like, well, this is the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger. I cannot believe how many people have christened Mason Rudolph as the Steelers' next starting quarterback.
I think there's a good chance he's going to be.
You think when you say good chance, you think does that mean 80%?
Yeah, I think around 80% chance. Yeah, I think.
Man, I would be the house on that bet. If you gave me 4-1 on the other side of that, I'd like that one.
I'm not convinced Ben's with the Steelers past 3 years, David. I just.
Well, yeah, 3 years is a long time. 3 years is a long time. But you also would bet in the next 3 years the Steelers also draft a quarterback, right?
Yeah, but in later rounds.
Okay.
They keep talking about how they like three quarterbacks in the room, kind of thing. I could see within the next 3 years them taking.
Is it possible they take a quarterback next year? Well, let me put it this way. Obviously, it's possible. Are the odds better than 20% that they like because Dobbs is going to. Who knows what's going to happen with Dobbs? But we're going to assume Dobbs is not on the 53, right? That's a general assumption.
I think there's a decent chance that they draft one next year. I mean, and
yeah,
look,
all of a sudden, because two of the guys could be gone.
Well, look, I mean, you don't have any. You're going to have to fill the spot, fill a spot somehow. The only way you don't, the only way you don't draft one is if Landry Jones is not in the mix this year.
Right, or you re-sign Landry Jones.
And I don't,
one of those two things.
And I don't think that's going to happen.
Why do you think that? even if he's the number three, if you can sign him for $3 million for another $3 million a year, another 2-year deal, you don't think that's an easy, like, you know, they had Batch and Leftwich forever.
Yeah, I don't think Landry Jones would want to go back into that situation now. And B, I mean, look, I mean, I would not be shocked if Landry Jones is a backup on another team this year, David, to be quite honest with you. You know,
you think the Steelers will go with effectively two rookie quarterbacks as their backups?
I'm not saying they will. I say I'm not going to rule out the possibility of it.
I'll be shocked. I'll be absolutely, you know, we've had this conversation, so I don't want to, you know, go over to the ground we've covered. But it would blow my mind if Landry Jones is not on the opening day.
If Rudolph is able to show them anything during the preseason, and if they got the right offer for
Landry, well, nobody's gonna offer you anything for Landry Jones.
I mean, you could get maybe a fifth.
I mean,
if a team loses a starting quarterback, and I mean, obviously it would have to be the perfect storm situation, but I don't think you can discount it totally. I mean,
well, I'll discount totally. I will, but so we'll disagree on that. I can't see anybody giving up. Look,
Where is Landry Jones in the hierarchy of backup quarterbacks in the league right now?
This is a great question. That is a great question, because I'm going to be on the other side of the coin here than I think a lot of Steeler fans, because I went through this and looked at the backup quarterbacks in the NFL, and it's kind of shocking. And, you know, look, we saw a situation where here's the issue is if you're a team that has Super Bowl aspirations and your starting quarterback gets hurt, we've seen it one time. You know, we saw it with the Vikings and Teddy Bridgewater. You know, we see you break camp, you're a team that, you know, you think you're a playoff team and you are not equipped with a backup quarterback. And so, you know, in a situation that really worked out great for everybody is they go get Sam Bradford from the Eagles, and, you know, the Eagles start Carson Wentz, and they didn't have a great season with Carson Wentz, but obviously it paved the road for the success they had this past year. You know, that's the desperation thing. But if you'd like to, so to your question, I think Landry Jones is probably in the area of 5 to 10. Way higher than, you know, I think Steeler fans would guess if they didn't look at any rosters. They'd guess 25th. But I think he's probably way closer to 5 to 10.
I think he's up there. I think he's up there in the top of the backup quarterbacks around the league
right
now.
Who would you rather have as your backup, Brian Hoyer or Landry Jones?
Probably Landry, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, so I put those guys kind of in the same category.
Let me put it to you better this way. Would you put, if you were to extract and look right now at all the quarterbacks on all the NFL rosters right now, would Landry Jones rank in the top 32?
No.
So you're saying there are 32 other quarterbacks in the NFL you would rather have start a game for you than Landry Jones?
Yeah. Now see, it's a little bit of an interesting question. If I'm the Steelers tomorrow, I'd rather have Landry Jones than Mason Rudolph. You know, and this is the whole point I've been making. The first half of the season, for sure, and maybe the whole season, if Ben's out for a week or two, I'd rather have Landry Jones than Mason Rudolph. But at the end of the day, on my roster, if I'm looking forward, I'd rather have Sam Darnold, all the guys who got drafted, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, and Mason Rudolph over Landry Jones.
But I'm talking right now.
Well, today I've said it, you know, I don't know that he's 32, but he's certainly, I'm going to put him ahead of all the rookies today if they have to start a football game. So I'm going to put him somewhere, you know, like I said, 37 to 40, something like that.
You know, I mean, you look at Arizona and their quarterback situation right now. I mean,
I like Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford's issue is not talent, it's health.
Trying to go down some of the list. You know, what's going on in Buffalo right now? You know,
would you take AJ McCarron? That's a good question. AJ McCarron or Landry Jones?
You know, so there you go. You know,
who would you take on that one?
Landry has more experience, right?
Well, McCarron got the last half of that season a couple of years ago, but they probably about have the same. They probably played the same number of snaps or games.
I think I might. I don't know. I think I might want Landry.
That's a good one. I might. Well, look, I feel like I'm on an island, so I'm glad you're swimming my direction because I feel like I'm one of the few people in the world who actually likes Landry Jones.
I don't love him, but I mean, I was forced to write about this last season when they had all that ranking of the backup quarterbacks and all like that, and I think we even kind of discussed it at the time. I mean, Landry belongs in, and look, he's surprised the living hell out of me.
Unfortunately, Landry had a exhibition game against the Lions or whoever it was where he threw four interceptions and a half, and because of that, everybody thinks he sucks. I mean, it's not just that. He's had some bad exhibition games. I get it. But you boil it down, and that kind of, that's what people, you look in the comments of the when we had the conversation on SteelersDepot.com, and that's what people point to. Like, that's really significant. It's not that significant. It's a preseason game, and he had a bad half. And it'll be, okay, whatever. He's playing with, this is the other thing about, here's the other thing that, concerns me, for the people who feel like Baker Mayfield should be the backup to start the season. This is a question for you, Dave. How many quarters of the exhibition season, the preseason, will he play, get Mason Rudolph play against first team NFL defenses?
Well, probably none.
Yeah, maybe none, right? None, maybe none. So certainly training camp matters and you get impressions of what's going on in camp. But as you pointed out, the past couple podcasts correctly, Mike's always makes the point of saying under the bright lights, we want to see what happens. And if he doesn't play any quarters against first team NFL defenses, how real a read are we going to have on who Mason Rudolph is?
Well, what about Ben Roethlisberger back in 2004? Can't you say the same thing?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Ben wasn't the quarterback because they wanted him to be the quarterback. He was the quarterback out of, need and necessity.
True. All right. Well, look here. The thing with Landry is I think he's played better than – and look, you talk about that four interception game against Philadelphia or whoever it was. If you go back and look at all those – I mean, each one had kind of a
– Right, there was an event.
Yeah,
an event.
Yeah. I mean, you can excuse, a lot of those, okay? But, I think the real problem with him is the way he came in when Roethlisberger got hurt in that playoff game and then he threw the interception. People weren't done with him by then. They were really done with him by that point. Then Ben had to come back in and save the day and yada, yada, all like that. The reason we went down this wormhole right now are where we are right now in this discussion of this podcast is I think Landry Jones has value to him, and I could see him if the price is right, if the team got in the wrong situation, another team needed a quarterback due to injury and all, I could see – that's the only way I could see a trade. Now, other than that, I mean, he doesn't have a big cap hit this year, so what does it cost you to carry him this year? And look, here's another thing that Ben sort of did during his interview the other day. He volunteered Landry Jones to groom.
right.
He volunteered Landry Jones to groom Mason Rudolph to be the one to take him underneath the wing.
Not for nothing. Let's not discount the fact that Ben and Landry Jones have a very close personal relationship, and I think I mentioned this.
They do.
Ben and Landry Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're close.
Yeah.
A close personal relationship.
I don't know if I'm overstating it, but yeah, they're close.
Okay. I mean, I would have never. Okay. That's the first I've heard that uttered or written.
Oh no! You talk about the quarterback room and the fact that they get along real well and they're they kind of I mean, Landry Jones is I don't want to get into the you know, whose personal beliefs or what, but that's been a big thing. And I've played this angle a little bit. I don't want to overplay it, but if you had a test, if they gave the quarterback room a test before every game about everything, I don't want this to come, like you said at the beginning, I'm going to say some things about Ben, but let's put it all in context. I don't know who would win the contest if Randy Feitner gave a 20-question test about the upcoming game, the offense, the defense, and what's going on. I don't know that Landry Jones doesn't win, score better on the test. Doesn't mean he's a better quarterback, but he has a full understanding of the offense. And the reason I get to this is because, it's been some people have discounted the fact that it'll take Mason Rudolph a little while to pick up the offense because he's so much better. He's so much of a better athlete than Landry Jones. Okay, I'm not just going to discount the second part. He's a better, he's a higher end quarterback capability. I don't know that he's, a ridiculously better athlete than Landry Jones is. Landry Jones had an unbelievably good college career. Mason Rudolph probably is better, and he has more upside. Okay, we've given that because at 27 or 29, whatever Landry Jones is now, we've kind of seen where he is. But we'll never actually know how good a quarterback Landry Jones could have been because he's behind Ben Roethlisberger. I'm not saying I'm not telling you Landry Jones would have turned into Joe Montana, but we don't really know what kind of quarterback Landry Jones is. That's just it, and we'll never know because he never played. Just like if Kurt Warner hadn't gotten the chance. You got an NFL MVP who was stacking shelves at Walmart or whatever he was doing. There are guys like that who were probably out there who didn't get the opportunity. But the point I'm coming back to is Michael Vick was one of the greatest athletes the NFL has ever seen. And Mike Tomlin gave Michael Vick every opportunity in front of Landry Jones. And nobody's going to ever forget that first half in that game. I think it was actually against the Eagles, but I might be wrong, where Michael Vick didn't throw a ball past the line of scrimmage in the first half. I think he threw for, 7 yards or something like that because Michael Vick never picked up the offense. He never knew what the offense was. Now, so when I talk about Mason Rudolph, not getting the offense, it takes some time. And if you can't run a bunch of the plays because your quarterback doesn't know the offense, I don't care how good an athlete you are, it limits the hell out of you. And we saw it with Mike Vick at quarterback for the Steelers. You cannot come up with a better example of what it is. You have a great athlete and a guy who's played extensively in the NFL, and the Steelers couldn't run their offense because Mike Vick didn't know the offense.
Yeah, so, But I mean, let's be straight here. Michael Vick's never been accused of being one of the smartest quarterbacks in the league either.
Exactly. And so my point being on that is a rookie isn't going to come in and know the full offense. Now, no matter how smart you are, whether you're Peyton Manning, it takes some time. And that is a factor. And people are writing that off like it's nothing. He's going to get the offense right away. He's not going to get the offense right away. He can be Peyton Manning. He's not going to get the offense right away. It's going to take some time, and it's going to take some time in practice and in the preseason. He's going to see these things, and he's going to learn. And I have no doubt that he'll learn fast, and he'll do it great. But still, it comes back to the point is in week two, if Ben breaks his pinky, I'm taking the guy who knows the offense cold and is, has played some in the NFL versus a guy who's, not seen an NFL defense, a first-team NFL defense ever.
Now, you talk about preparing. I don't know how it is now, but I know a couple of years ago I had a former Steelers teammate of Roethlisberger tell me that there have been weeks where he's not prepared the way he should be prepared for games. Now, that's been several years ago now. And look, I mean, there's some games where we do wonder if Ben knows the offense, right?
Sure. The Marcus Wheaton stuff is will always, because, he was a guy who was supposed to be very smart, catch things, pick things up very quickly and be on the same page. And man, not just once. He and Marcus Wheaton, Marcus and Ben looked like they didn't know, they just met each other.
Now, look, I think somehow, I don't know how we got down this road here. It feels like this is a more of a continuation of talking about whether or not the team could should keep Dobbs or Landry Jones more, and your kind of your built-in Rudolph them drafting Rudolph bias than it is talking about the way Ben Roethlisberger has responded to this thing.
Oh no, I think you know. Look, I actually don't have any problem with the Mason Rudolph pick. I have less of a problem than Ben does, apparently. You know, my only issue, the only thing I've ever said is don't expect Mason Rudolph to be the backup this year. That's the only thing I've ever said. He may be the heir apparent. He may. Well, two things I've said. I expect Ben Roethlisberger to be the Steelers quarterback in 2020. That's 3 years from now. And I expect Landry Jones to be the Steelers backup this year. I've never – the whole thing is – it's been some of this stuff has been misconstrued of what I've said. I've never made a comment, positive or negative, about Mason Rudolph being a good pick or a bad pick. Whatever. You know, it's a third-round pick. I probably would have gone in a different direction with some of these picks. I expected the Steelers to go more defense in this draft. But none of what I've said has been a comment on, oh, I don't like Mason Rudolph. I don't think Mason Rudolph would be good. Mason Rudolph might be Dan Marino for all I know. I'm not going to pre-assume anything.
All right, now getting back to Ben's comments here. I mean, is he really that worried?
I think Ben just, you know, it was stream of consciousness talking, and you know, he just talks, and it's not thought of a lot. There's not a lot of thought about it beforehand. There's not anything that's evil about it, or you know, anti-team or anything. He just talks. Some of it doesn't come out well. And I dismiss all of it.
I think there's that passive aggressiveness that he's not shy about, and people saying
which he's known for.
Right. Look, and we started off the whole thing. None of this is a surprise, okay? That we're talking about him making comments like he made on Friday on the radio is not surprising one bit. But it does get old. People say, I applaud Ben for you know, in this PC world, for speaking what's really on his mind. Look, there's nothing wrong with speaking your mind, but I think there's a time and place and situation for everything, you know, and some of these things just didn't need to be said, you know. And look, you know, how surprised can he really be that the team drafted a quarterback, in the third round, when all the time he's been talking about one year at a time, year at a time, year at a time, year at a time, and then
this year he didn't.
Right, and then you didn't let me finish it out. This year he goes, okay, I'm ready to go 3 years. Okay, but even in this same interview the other day, David, he went back to, well, yeah, it's still a year at a time, you know, year to year, you know, so. You know, what are the Steelers supposed to think when he keeps saying, well, year at a time, year at a time, year at a time, and then he comes out after the season ends, this past season, says, okay, I'm ready to go 3-5. I was just saying that year at a time thing because I really couldn't stand Todd Haley, and I wanted y'all to run him out of town. And now that you have done that, you've given me my personal handpicked choice of my offensive coordinator, oh, I'm ready to play 15 more years now. You know, nobody, I mean, let's face it, David, and Ben has to know this, nobody's going to run Ben Roethlisberger out of town before his time. It is his job until he can't do it, or he walks away, or just, you know, it just, his play drops off. Even Kevin Colbert, the day before Roethlisberger gave this latest interview, said, look, we hope Ben plays 5 more years. Everybody listening to this podcast probably wants Ben to play at least five more years and play at the level that he's been playing at. But what if he doesn't?
The Steelers had a guy, and they, you know, feel like they – look, I'm not going to – like I said, I'm not going to criticize Kevin Colbert for trying to upgrade the roster at all times. That's his job. And, you know, we've heard some things. So, first of all, the Ben conversation about how long he's going to play never came up until 2 years ago. It came up 2 years ago. Ben said, I don't know. You know, I'll let you know. So that's the first time it came up. And then this year, he took a completely different approach.
I bet all this was related to him being disgruntled after that game against the Patriots and wanting, you know, not being a fan of Todd Haley and wanting Todd Haley out of town. I bet that's how all this year at a time stuff started. Just him being anti his offensive coordinator more than anything. Go ahead.
Yeah, it could be. But we, you know, it wasn't really a topic of conversation until 2 years ago. I mean, Ben's 36 now. He was 34. It wasn't on the front burner. So we went through it, you know, 2 years ago. He dismissed it this year. I mean, Ben said something that we've talked about and that everybody else should talk about. You drafted another quarterback. Does that mean you missed with Josh Dobbs? It doesn't mean you missed with Josh Dobbs. It may mean you want to upgrade the roster, and you do think you had a highly ranked quarterback that was great value, so you took him. That's the most likely answer. Two is maybe they do want to get away from Landry Jones. And again, they want to upgrade the roster. And three is maybe they drafted Josh Dobbs, but you know, he was almost essentially a fifth round pick at 135. And, you know, he was never seen as the long-term answer. And, you know, he was a guy who's basically the 135th draft pick, and he's not that good. And we don't expect him to be that good. So we're going to draft another guy who we think could be really good. And if Josh Dobbs shows us a little bit more in camp, we'll have to make a decision. But, you know, worst case, we cut him. He gets an opportunity with someone else. Best case for us, we cut him, and he goes to the practice squad. And we can bring him back next year when Landry's contract's up. I mean, there are a lot of different options there for the Steelers in terms of what to do. But I'm not surprised Ben brought it up. I mean, you know, he's allowed to bring it up.
Yeah, he is, and he does.
But you probably shouldn't. As you said at the beginning, you probably shouldn't. Time and place.
Yeah, then he goes on and says, him, meaning Dobbs and Landry, those two guys are who I feel the worst for. You know he doesn't. We could parse this out. I'll be honest. I wasn't worried about him, meaning Rudolph, coming and taking my job. I feel confident that I can go out and beat whoever I need to beat out for my job. That's just the kind of confidence I have in myself. Nobody, your job's safe, Ben. Relax. Yeah, I do feel bad for those guys because, you know, Landry, I don't know what's going to happen. I assume Landry's still the two. I don't really know. And Josh, same thing. Last year you take him in the fourth round, so does that mean the Steelers, like, screwed up that pick? Like, do they I love the likes in here for effect. Do they think that he wasn't the one that they thought, or has he not developed the way that they thought? Why else would you take a quarterback in the third round next year? Why else would you take a quarterback in the third round the next year? You know?
Yeah. So, there's a lot there. I mean, we've talked about this from Ben's perspective. We've talked about it from Landry Jones' perspective. We've talked about it from Mason Rudolph's perspective, who said, by the way, said all the right things. I mean, his quote has been Ben took a quote that was very well intended and very flattering toward Ben and stuck it.
And beat him over the head with it. And don't tell me Ben didn't understand the context of that quote.
Exactly. I mean, and, you know, it was a very good quote from the kid. You know, it's not his meaning. I've got to do the work. It's nobody else's responsibility. It's my job. And Ben's like, well, if he doesn't want my help, I'm not going to help. I mean, just absolutely screwed him with a quote that was well intended. He screwed him with it.
Yeah, you want to talk about a kaplowy? Well, I don't think I'll need to now that he said that he doesn't need me.
Now that was probably a little tongue in cheek by Ben too, but you
sure.
Know,
he got a after the rest of it, he says, so if he asked me a question, I might have to just point to the playbook, you know. And then there was the kind of the giggle there. But I mean,
Ben got screwed by the national writers for that. Mike Friedman killed him for that.
Because of the context, right?
Yeah, because Mike Freeman didn't have context on Ben. So, I mean, it, you know, Ben gave it to somebody else and somebody gave it to him. And it was, you know, they're both equally deserved, I guess.
What
I was trying to get to with that thing is, you know, nobody's talked about it from Josh Dobbs' perspective.
And he said all the right things, too, according to
him. You're damn right he did. He said all the right things.
Well, look, what can these kids do? All right. I mean, you're sitting behind a future Hall of Fame quarterback, a guy that's not going, the guy that's got 2 years left on his contract, a guy that's known to being either on the field or off the field. That's just been being Ben. And that's quite literally the best way to describe Ben, both on the field and off the field. What are these kids supposed to do and say?
Josh Dobbs is in a, you know. He's in a no comment, because that sounds bad, but he's in a no-win situation. It's just, you know, I'm going to go out and try to do the best I can.
And I bet to some degree last year when Dobbs showed up after being drafted, I bet he got a little bit of something from Ben, you know? And Rudolph's going to get a little bit something plus a round or two from Ben when he shows up. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that quarterback room. You know, most definitely. Oh, and, you know, he's asked about, the whole getting back into where he volunteered Landry Jones to take Rudolph under his wing. He also was asked about the coordinator, too, and he fired a shot across the bow there, too, saying that.
He just complimented Feetner, and everybody's reading into it. So, ergo, he's insulting Haley.
No. I've never taken it as him insulting Feetner, but what?
No, he complimented Feetner.
Right. He complimented her, and in the same time threw Todd Haley under the bus, talking about, saying how well Randy gets along with Mike.
But that's it. So people are really reading between the lines to insult Haley. Because you compliment one guy doesn't mean that you're insulting another guy. Come on.
You go back and listen to
Todd Haley's never mentioned in any of it, and it's not even inferred. He doesn't say the old guy. It just talks about Randy.
Right. But okay, let's throw all that to the side there. Him saying, though, that he doesn't know how much time, you know, they're talking about, will the team hire a quarterback coach, or does the team need a quarterback coach now? Because, you know, essentially Randy's doing two jobs. And in so many words, Ben said, well, you know, I guess these younger quarterbacks, you know, they won't have, in other words, they're not going to get as much time. You know, coaching, position coaching, because Randy is the slash, you know, OC quarterback coach now. So, in other words, that's it. That's Ben's way of saying, sorry, guys, you know, it's me and Randy now, and y'all going to have to fend for yourself now. But here's Landry Jones. He'll be glad to help.
Yeah, right. De facto, he's now elevated him to de facto assistant QB coach.
Exactly. Landry is now QB2 assistant quarterback coach now.
So. Yeah, exactly. We're going to put a second title on him. Another reason he's not going anywhere. He's got to coach him.
So there you go. And poor Rudolph. I mean, Rudolph even go all the way back to this combine interview, talking about guys he likes to think that he emulates and all, naming Manning and Big Ben and all. Poor kid's been nothing but, he said
complimentary of Ben.
Right. Said all the right things, and here he is right now into what we started this whole thing off with, a quarterback controversy, when there's really, you know, the only controversy is that there are four quarterbacks on this roster, and come the beginning of September, there needs to be three of them. And we know who the number one guy on the depth chart is. That's the only controversy there is right now. Just back to this whole Ben thing, David, you know, like I said, these are probably passive aggressive things that I would say if I were Ben in this situation, but that doesn't make it right. And for us to just, you know, to excuse it, well, that's just Ben being Ben and that kind of stuff. Ben knew exactly what he was doing in this interview, and I was a bit surprised that all of a sudden Ben comes on for the Ben Roethlisberger show right after the draft. You know, Why does Ben even need to be on the radio right now is my question. Here's what Peter King wrote this morning in Monday Morning Quarterback. And I agree wholeheartedly with this. I think for a 36-year-old quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, to question the wisdom of drafting a quarterback in the third round when the quarterback of the future is certainly not on the roster already is, well, there are lots of words for it, but I think I'd pick unintelligent.
I don't think anybody, you know, look, as Mike Tomlin has said many times, Ben's earned the right to say what he wants to say. And you know, kind of, I mean, almost period. You just leave it at that. It's, you know, he gave us something to talk about. It's great for the media guys. I'm sure.
Oh, wait, it's great for media and blogs and us on this podcast right now.
I'm sure this will not be. I'm 100% sure that this will not be a Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers situation. Ben's not that guy. Like in the locker room, in the room, and stuff like that. Ben isn't that guy. Let me put it this way. I'll be shocked if Mason Rudolph doesn't come in and everything's cool with Landry and Ben and Mason and Josh Dobbs. It would very much surprise me. Having said all that, yeah, I agree with what you've said. I mean, you know, Peter King's, yeah, that's probably a fair assessment. Probably a fair assessment. Like, why does he need to say it? What's the point of all of it? But, you know, as Mike Tomlin said, Ben's earned the right to speak his mind, and he's an adult. He's got a massive pedigree. So, you know, spoke his mind. I mean, and by the way, it's the same mind that probably more than half the Steeler fans are. Where the hell's the defense? I mean, I think there are a lot of Steeler fans who 100% agree with Ben.
Right, but they did draft a safety. Look, I mean, they just did not have a linebacker that they liked, you know?
Well, right, that's it. And so, you know, look, we can, okay, you can defend him. That's fine. But you can still ask the question 50 times. I mean, you know, how did Tennessee get to trade up in front of you? Why didn't you do it if you really wanted that guy? You were trying to do it. You didn't get it done, so you didn't get it done. You know, why didn't you trade back for more picks? Or, by the way, we haven't talked about this. Is there any chance the kid the Steelers took in the first round wasn't going to be there at pick 8 in the second round? Probably not, right? He's there. So why didn't you trade back out of the first round and get him later and get more picks?
Yeah.
Everybody's going to get critiqued, and, you know, we're not going to have good answers till 3 years from now and all of that. So, you know, we can ask all these questions. So Ben asked the questions he wanted to ask, just like we asked the questions we want to ask.
You know, pre-draft press conference with Colbert and all, I think he was asked a question along about, does it matter with this fifth-year option? And he kind of shrugged it off like, oh, I've never really thought about it. And I don't have the exact quote in front of me, him talking about that.
Yeah, it's not a huge reason for them to be making decisions, which you know, lends more credence to, let's move back.
Right. And where I'm going with this is I think they do value that.
Oh, you think he was being disingenuous?
Yeah, I think the organization does value the right to have that fifth year option.
Well, for every team, it's an asset that you get to, you know, it's something that, you know, there's value to it, obviously. I mean, whatever he says, there's no question there's value to it. Now, what value he places on it, I don't know. But it is value. And, you know, we saw some guys' options not get picked up. Some of these guys have changed teams. The Browns traded to the Patriots. They didn't pick up. They've got three first-round guys. They didn't pick up the option on any of them. And it has been consistent kind of in the last 5 years that the number of options of first-round picks that get picked up is right around 20, 21. I think this year it was 22, but, you know, don't quote me on that. But I think the low has been 19, the high has been 24, something like that. So it's been a very consistent number that, you know, two-thirds of the guys – have their fifth year option picked up, and a third of them don't. So it's interesting, and you know it did. You know, one of the things we didn't talk about. We can talk about whether the Steelers reached or not for their first round pick for Edmonds.
We talked about that. We both thought that, you know, went way earlier, and what, you know, that kid went way earlier.
Yeah. So with teams moving around as much as they did, and as many trades as there were, you wonder, you know, if you could have picked up an asset and move back. Now, you know, our board and the, you know, the mock boards and other people doesn't mean, you know, the Steelers may have completely different views on guys, and maybe they see the next Troy Polamalu or whatever it is they see, and they didn't want to even take the risk. Obviously, they didn't take any risk of, you know, if he's not there in 10 picks, man, we're going to kill ourselves. So, you know, they took the guy they wanted.
And look, we're not going to be able to evaluate Terrell Edmunds for until 3 years from now, you know, to know, you know, that was a good or bad bad pick. But, I think in the same circle, it'll be interesting to watch the career, to parallel the careers of both, say, a guy like Rashawn Evans in Tennessee versus a guy like Edmunds, because, you know, I think it's kind of clear that, you know, they were the one guy they were willing to maybe move up to go get was Rashawn Evans. So, you know, it'd be kind of interesting to parallel the careers of those two guys, even though they kind of play different, or they do play different positions, at least starting off they do. One's a safety and one's obviously an inside linebacker there. But, I don't understand the motivation for Ben to even go on the radio the other day and for him to kind of answer the way he did to several of these questions. It's just unnecessary drama for this time of year. But hey, maybe if he gets it all out of his system now, talk about it now. Maybe we're not talking about it in August, you know?
Yep.
Or July when they report to training camp. But rest assured, David, we have not we haven't heard the rest of him. There's more coming with him talking about the team drafting Mason Rudolph when they did, and wondering if Joshua Dobbs was a bad pick, and on and on.
I'm with you.
No, everybody, we don't want Ben traded or run out of town or anything. It's just, you know, just sometimes, you know, a player on your team does something that you're not a big fan of, and you know, it's our
duty. Oh, Brady's, you know, he's put his, I don't want to say, he, again, a guy who's earned the right to say whatever he wants to say. I mean, if you saw that ridiculous interview with Jim Gray, I mean, if you're a Patriot fan, you're like, what the hell? I mean, can't we all just get along? I mean, you know, he feels like he's not appreciated enough and that kind of stuff. I mean, every team's got who is the least controversial starting quarterback in the NFL? Drew Brees? I know you never hear much. You never hear much from Drew, but he had his contract stuff that seemed to go rather easily. Who's the big time talent? Who's the quietest?
Matt Ryan's pretty quiet, right?
Matt Ryan's really quiet. Good one. Phillip Rivers, he says some stuff.
Yeah, but he says stuff like just around more of the stuff that comes out of his mouth that I think
he's on the field stuff, right?
Right. His stuff, him firing up the other team.
right. Yeah. So he breathes. Ryan's a good one. I don't know. You don't hear a lot from Matt Stafford. Hey, I don't know. Ben, maybe it's Ben and Brady are the outliers of this, but
yeah, hey, and look, you know, we got to spend some time talking now that we talked about Ben a little bit in the comments he's made, you know, talking about Joe Flacco. he declined to answer reporters' questions the other day after the pick was made while he was participating in a team draft event, saying, "I don't believe I'm talking today."
I missed that. That's good.
And he hasn't talked since, even though the team has drafted him ostensibly two new tight ends, two new wide receivers, and a tackle. All this has come on the heels, of course, of them spending. Look, you think passive aggressive Ben we saw emerge from the shadows this past weekend? What if they had drafted Lamar Jackson in the first round? Talking about the Steelers, you'd have triple passive. What's the next step up to passive aggressive?
Aggressive.
Okay. He is killing me, man. Oh, this is probably gonna be so great on the podcast. I'm not cutting this out. Well, you know, I don't even think that's enough. What's the next level up for
pissed off addressing.
Mad as shit.
Yeah.
Well, I think right. I think Flacco is whatever that next step up from Ben is to aggressive. Whatever that next notch up is up there. But I can only imagine had the Steelers selected one in the first round. And hey, let's be honest here, David, about Mason Rudolph. You know, not named Tom Brady. When's really the last time? I guess you could point to Dak Prescott. Normally, your top
Russell Wilson's a very good example. Third round guy came in and won the job.
Right. I mean, what I'm getting at is normally you don't see guys outside of the first round become those guys. You know. You know, if people thought they were those, you know, is that
right? That was my point all along. You know, you'd say put a first round grade on him, but you know, 75 times he got passed on.
Right. If he had a first round grade, well, he wasn't drafted in the first round. Now, is that just a byproduct of supply and demand? With you know, there's just going to be so many guys. You know, so many teams are going to need to spend early round draft picks on quarterbacks. And boy, there was just a huge supply of those with first round grades this year. I mean, is that a byproduct?
I was thinking about this the other day, and I meant to ask you this. When somebody's how many players do you think the Steelers have a first round grade on? Because I'm guessing the answer is not 32. I mean, they're not beholden to a number of teams. I mean, could it be 60? Could it be 20? Could it be 60 one year and 20 another year? I would think it could be. But I, you know, it's very interesting because
we kind of discussed this a couple weeks ago, right? But there is no way in hell they had 32 players with first round picks this year. They couldn't have.
First round grades.
No, yeah. Right.
The thing is, could you have like, I mean, again, I'm making it up to for the point. You could have 10 receivers with a first-round grade and zero tackles, right?
Yeah, I suppose. Awesome. Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, maybe they had, you know, six quarterbacks with a first-round grade, and it just happened to be five of them went in the first round and one of them didn't. I mean, that's basically the way I look at it, right? I mean, that's how okay, let me ask you this question. By definition of saying they had a first-round grade on Mason Rudolph, they had to have a first-round grade on James Washington, right? Or not?
No, not necessarily.
Okay, so then they weren't true to their board, right?
When have we ever accused them of being that?
Right. You and I, never.
Right, you know, the whole best player available need
intersection. Largely skewed toward need.
Right, magically intersecting on. Now, look, you know, the selection, you want to talk about them maybe looking at maybe the way they had players ranked this year and maybe following their board more true. Maybe this was the year that they actually did that. I mean, a tackle, you know, in the third round, moving up and getting a quarterback in the third, James Washington in the second. Now, on the flip side, in Colbert's, and look, you go watch all these videos that they do on scouting and grading these players that the Steelers have done and all like that. Look, I mean, it makes a little bit of sense of how all this has transpired and all like that. Because, look, if you have two guys similarly graded, if one's just not outright one level ahead of the next one, you're obviously going to address more of a need in that situation. Okay. Now the question becomes, you know, was in the third round, was the drop off of defensive players in that third round quite significant that led to guys like Rudolph, Washington, and Chooks all essentially being in that area? Obviously Washington was a second round guy, but starting kind of in the second round where they made that pick and on until, you know, their second of two third round picks, was that just mostly dominated by offensive talent on their board?
Yeah.
You know, was the drop off at that point? I mean,
Well, that's obviously what the Patriots were saying. It's obviously what some other teams who traded out said by their actions.
I mean, Colbert's already told us, and he told us before the draft, he didn't like the inside linebacker class. That there was a few unique players that could come in and impact, and other than that, there was a bunch of specialists. And that's basically the way the Steelers treated this draft, exactly the way Colbert essentially, or that position, exactly the way he said they would way back at the combine. So, he stuck to it then. Now, does that mean you still can't take one? You know, they just didn't see anything in the third round there that they thought, could be a potential starter or help the team now. Either that, or he just valued that as being not hitting a whammy and getting a bonus pick, for the Martavis, and said let's burn this thing up, see what we can do with it, for the future. So, and the way he phrased things throughout. He sure did put a lot of emphasis, David, on talking pre-draft this year about we want to win now, but we're not going to do so at sacrifice in the future. He sure made sure to point that out three or four times ahead of the draft.
Yeah.
How much of this? I still contend that they go into this draft with about 50 guys circled.
and don't have to leave that group. But obviously, you don't get every guy you want. But as with Van Der Esch, who we didn't really even talk about, who went all the way at 19, and Evans at 22.
I mean, I understand how your board has to be set up with 150 or what have you, and all like that. Yeah, I get it. But sometimes, and just looking at their pack, and look, we have the benefit of being able to track Steelers drafts with Kevin Colbert going all the way back to 2000. I mean, we have a lot of data and pre-draft visits and trends and all like that. What's going to happen? It must be tough to be a fan of other NFL teams. It just doesn't have that kind of data to try to even work with and try to develop trends, and what's going to happen the days after Colbert's gone. We're going to be back.
Yeah, I mean, look, like we've said, if you have seven drafts, you might only have 50 guys or less to look at, and none of that is statistically significant. I mean, you need as much. I mean, I told you the thing that supposedly you guys got to have 180 drafts before you could actually come to any conclusions. Nobody's ever obviously going to have 40 of them. Or probably not. I mean, Kevin having as many as he had is unique. I mean, for anybody else, and when the new guy comes in, you're just guessing for 10 years. You're making stuff up.
Right, exactly. And look, we do the best with what we got,
Yeah, right.
And that's what we do. Okay, anything else to add on Ben's comments?
No.
I mean, I think we pretty much, and we'll be talking more about it. So, we don't have to spend this entire podcast on it. David, speaking of Rudolph, I've been watching more and more film of him. Look, this is a kid that I knew fairly well ahead of the draft. Obviously, I watched him probably more than any of the other quarterbacks out there. But now that he is drafted, I'm getting time to drill more down into not only his stats, but his tape as well, too. One thing that stuck out to me, and I always like to try to start with drilling down on some stats and all to see if I can find any holes that stick out like a sore thumb, so I can go immediately to the tape to find, find any, proof of those kind of flaws. Well, I started off with looking at his third down career college passing stats, talking about Rudolph, and believe it or not, this is a kid that was quite impressive on third downs in college, and not only did he post the let's see how many quarterbacks went ahead of him, five, and he was the sixth one of the five, him and the five quarterbacks that went ahead of him. He posted the best yards per attempt and yards per completion stat of the group. And additionally, he posted the highest third down NCAA quarterback rating of the eight players I used in this study, and the other two players I used in this study were the college stats of Landry Jones and Joshua Dobbs. Okay, so that gets you a little bit, you know, that has to get you a little bit excited about Rudolph's third down play, you know, of his college career. And he posted the lowest interception per attempt percentage, 2.1%, of the eight quarterbacks, and the highest touchdown pass per attempt percentage on, and this is all third downs, of all the quarterbacks that I used in this study. Now, overall third down completion percentage at Oklahoma State was 56.45%, and only Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold finished their college careers with higher completion percentage on third downs. But additionally, 42.9% of Rudolph's total third down pass attempts resulted in a successful play, meaning, you know, either a first down or a touchdown, and only Mayfield and Darnold posted higher percentage than he did in that stat. So top to bottom, really, push come to shove, Mason Rudolph was the best third down quarterback of you know, the other, you know, six guys, or other, you know, five, him and the other five guys taken ahead of him. The other thing that I did is, since I think we last talked, is I looked at, as part of breaking down James Washington and all the deep passes that he had, big plays that he had, looking, kind of studying the deep pass of Mason Rudolph in college. And he threw a nice deep ball. He really did. But I think the thing that has stuck out so far with him is I don't think I've seen him throw a pass past the line of scrimmage more than 55 yards. And if he's done that, he hasn't done it much. A lot of 48s, 50s, you know, right around in there. But that, you know, that tends to be about his limit there. And when he's throwing to, like, the larger side of the field, kind of throwing those out routes and things of those nature, it does seem like he lacks a little bit of zip on the ball. Now, obviously, you go by the velocity stats that they collected, the combine and all like that. It wasn't, you know, his obviously wasn't the best. And he does, I think, have one of the smaller hand sizes of this year's, you know, top quarterback, you know, the class as well too. So I don't know if we have kind of an Alex, you know, Smith kind of situation here. Remember, the big talk with him when he came out was you know, how small, you know, people used to post that Burger King commercial with Alex Smith's face transposed on top of it with the kid with the with the tiny hands there. He has 9 1/8-inch hands, Rudolph does. And when you look at a guy like, well, you know, here's one thing. Lamar Jackson has 9 1/2-inch hands. Trying to scroll through these. Josh Allen has 10 1/8-inch hands. Boy, he could crack some lobsters, I bet. Baker Mayfield, 9 1/4-inch hands. But let me tell you, Baker Mayfield could get that football down the field some distance there. I'm trying to look at who else I have hand size here. 9 7/8 for Josh Rosen. 9 3/8 for Sam Darnold. So, you know, not a huge discrepancy by any mean, but I think what I'm getting at here is when studying Rudolph more extensively, you know, there was the conception that the arm strength issue there ahead of the draft, and I found that to be true. Now, is that the kind of thing that he can improve on? Is it mechanics driven? Those type of things. I don't know. You know, can he get on a better strength program and increase that arm strength a little bit? I don't know. But if there's one reason maybe to be concerned about him, I think it is the arm strength aspect. I also went back and, believe it or not, he only had 26 interceptions, David, throughout his college career. And I went and looked at each one of those. I have those linked up on the site, kind of contextualizing each of those as well, too. You know, not anything hugely shows up in those interceptions to bring up any red flags. He had a good 5, 6, 7 just flat out bad decisions in those. He had, you know, a nice one in his freshman season in the bowl game against Washington, where Buda Baker made a nice play on a deep ball down the middle of the field to intercept him. He had a Hail Mary intercepted in there. You know, some good plays by defense mixed in there, mixed with some poor decisions as well, too. So nothing really stuck out from that aspect. Now, there was the narrative going around pre-draft with Rudolph that he throws a lot of interceptable balls, okay? So I haven't gotten that far deep into the study with him yet. But look, either football was intercepted or it wasn't. But I do understand tracking those kind of things. That's something that I intend on studying moving forward. But very impressed with his third down play. Overall impressed with his arm strength as a whole. Nothing sticks out with interceptions here. Now, the other thing that's kind of worth mentioning with him that I'm right in the middle of studying now is his red zone play. And number-wise, his red zone, in talking about passing here, his red zone numbers weren't all that. So I'm trying to dig down to see if anything sticks out overall with him. But we talked several times about the selection of Rudolph and whether or not he's the heir apparent and all like that. I still consider this a good lot, kind of a weighted lottery ball of sorts when it comes to the Steelers. And look, you only have a third round pick in it. You might know in 2 years, even before Ben Roethlisberger, Ben Roethlisberger plays at least two or three more years, you might know at the end of that time whether or not you have Ben Roethlisberger's heir apparent. Just by the way he picks things up, you know, in other words, does he have a better chance to be that guy? You know, I think you'll be able to tell during preseason and practices and whatnot from there. But, you know, I still like the pick. I consider it kind of a weighted lottery ball, and the fact that you got him in the third round, even better.
Fair enough. And obviously you can find all that stuff on James Washington, Mason Rudolph. All the stuff that Dave's been doing, digging into the tape and into the data on SteelersDepot.com.
Anything else that we talked about possibly having to talk about on this show today?
I mean, Ben, I think I'm pretty well covered.
We knew Ben was going to be a big topic. We knew Mason Rudolph was going to be a big topic as well. Okay, well, until let's see here. I will be playing the guy from Dumb and Dumber today. what do you got planned for lunch today? I'm having I'm having Gatorade and Milox or Malox today, David. So my day is going to be spent being king of the throne here. So I'll be out of commission on Tuesday. David and I should be, or Alex and I should be back, I think, come Friday, and then we'll kind of, you know, as we mentioned last week, we'll start playing it by ear with me being on vacation and whatnot. But in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. We've got a few more donations in. As well, thank you for that, supporting the cause there as well, too. If you want to donate, have not yet, go to SteelersDepot.com, hit that donate button up right navigational bar. All right, David, I'll see you on the other side.
All right, good luck. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.